And we're back here with another episode this Thursday afternoon here on Mining Stock Daily. Trevor Hall here with you once again for another corporate update. It's been a long time since we've had Chris Taylor from Great Bear Resources on the pod here, so it is time for an update because significant news out of their exploration work on the Dixie Project. But before we get into the nitty-gritty, Chris, welcome back to the pod. How has your summer been treating you?
It's been really good, Trevor. I mean, we're dealing with some forest fire issues in Ontario right now, but it hasn't impacted anything in terms of Great Bear's progress. It's just been some extra kinks thrown into the usual operations.
Yeah, I think we should start out with this because this is really important just for the safety of you and the crew, but also the communities and the district as a whole. Can you give us a sense of what's going on with combating these forest fires that has led to this? I guess you could call it a 3-week moratorium on Dixie with drilling.
Yeah, it is brutal in Northwest Ontario right now. I believe it's the worst fire season anybody's ever seen by a long shot. So that's very, grandiose wording, but it's absolutely true. Like there are hundreds of thousands of acres of forest burning in Northwest Ontario right now. Communities that have been evacuated. The fires are so big that the usual firefighting methods like the water bombers and the helicopters and all that, they're not even doing them. They're basically building fire breaks around the communities so that they can sort of like chop out sections of the woods between the various lakes so the fires get stopped by natural borders and they're too big to put out. So it's been the focus in that area of just keeping the communities safe. In our case, our Dixie Project is well away from the actual fires. So there's been no concern there, but the conditions are so dry this year that if you even run certain equipment through the woods and it causes sparks as it's going over rocks or something, it can start fires. That happened here recently in British Columbia as well. And, it's just the risk level so high. So lots of extra measures being put in place by government, people like us. Even when we were drilling up to a couple of weeks ago, we had one of our drill crews seconded to run around the project and just watch for extra fire risk. And it's the kind of thing that everybody's bending over backwards to make sure that we don't cause any problems and that we keep the communities and the people safe, right?
Yeah. Did you have people at camp still or have you completely evacuated camp?
We don't have a camp. We just live in the town of Red Lake because the project's only about a 15-minute drive and it's right beside the highway. So we've never had a camp situation. Virtually everybody with a camp in Northwest Ontario has evacuated the camp. Many of the camps have been just abandoned, more or less, and some of them have been converted into firefighting outposts because you can land aircraft there and you can organize people and equipment. Again, not the case for us because we don't have a camp.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess that's one, I guess you could call it silver lining to this very scary time. I do wish not only everybody at the Dixie Project in Red Lake, but everywhere in Ontario, just, please stay safe and be smart with what you're doing. We don't want to cause things to get worse than they already are.
Yeah.
Chris, we got to go. You've wrapped up your phase one program at Dixie. This is significant because obviously a lot of meters drilled, a lot of holes drilled, and we have a lot of assays still pending, don't we?
Oh, man. In our first couple of years of drilling at Dixie, we probably got to about 40,000 meters of drill core in total. That's how much we have sitting in the lab right now. I think it's actually closer to about 45,000 meters of drilling and over 100 holes. I think 109 holes currently in the labs. And that's simply a function of we've been drilling quickly. We had 6 rigs going on the project. So we're just generating a lot of core and the labs are really busy. A lot of people got funded in 2020 because of the gold price run. And that means the labs are just inundated with drill core. So we are a premium client because we drill more than just about anybody else out there. But even so, it just takes months to get all the results back. And the good thing is our grid drill program on the LP fault, that's our really big gold target. That one is substantially complete. We estimated we needed about 400 holes across about 4 kilometers of strike length to get that thing defined in the near surface, like not the total thing, but just the near surface portion of it down to about, from 0 meters depth to 450 meters depth. And that's done. Like there may be a few more holes as we do the resource modeling that we decide to put into that upper portion of the target. But basically that resource drilling is now complete and we can start doing the deeper drilling that expands the ounces and the mineralization down below and along strike. And we can get back to some of our other high grade gold zones and begin expanding and filling those in as well. So that'll be the phase two drilling that starts in August when the rigs fire up again.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't have said fire up. That's probably a bad choice of words.
I will excuse you. We'll excuse you for that one, Chris. Okay. So phase two, you did mention this like 450 meter depth level. You and I think almost consistently every time we chat, we talk about that level at 450 meters. So phase two is maybe infilling there, but you're going to have a priority of going deeper because as you and I have talked numerous times before, as I said, what's below 450 meters is very, very promising.
Yeah, we've been hitting the same mineralization at depth that we did in the near surface. And the reason we picked 450 meters as the initial sort of resource cutoff was that if you look at the biggest sort of open pit type mines in Canada, that's about the maximum depth that they get to. Even the really huge ones like Canadian Malartic. I've seen some slightly deeper drill plans on something like Detour Lake in certain gold price environments that might work. But regardless, that's about the limit of how deep that you can take that kind of thing for a bulk tonnage type mining scenario. But the kind of system that we have at the LP fault, the hinge zone, the limb zone, the arrow zone, I mean, these will go typically to kilometers of depth. So many times that 450 meter level, we've already got drilling down to over 800 meters, almost 1,000 meters, and we're hitting the same stuff. So it shows you that really, you know, if it's a human body as an analogy, and the head is at surface level and the rest of the body is laid out below, we've pretty much just drilled the head and maybe the shoulders of this thing and compared to where it would be in all the big adjacent systems in that area, they would go down to mining to 2.5 kilometers vertical depth. So in that case, we're really just scratching the surface.
Yeah. Your maiden mineral resource estimate, I think, might be one of the most anticipated technical reports the market is waiting for here in the coming months. Do you need phase two drilling to complete that, or has everything been done through phase one been substantial to get this report done?
I think that we probably have enough drill core. Yeah, once we get the results back from the stuff, the 100 holes plus that's in the lab right now, it's probably sufficient. But every time I've gone through this exercise in my career previously, the resource modelers always want a few more holes here and there just to fill in while you have this sort of domain that needs to be expanded, or you put a hole here, it'll take things down another 50 meters. Maybe that adds another 100,000 ounces or something like this. You know, the point though is, you know, on the back of 440 drill holes, if we need another 10 holes or something, it's not relevant to the scheme of things. And the company right now has over $80 million of cash in the bank. That's enough to keep drilling all the remainder of this year and next year without having to finance again. So we got the money, and now it's really being driven by the science and the engineers. They'll tell us what we need. But my anticipation is we're basically done with the drilling that we have now in the near surface. And all the drilling that we're doing now for the rest of the year, substantially all of that drilling will be expanding things and adding future ounces as we build out the zones at depth and along strike.
And has the time frame for the resource estimate changed at all?
Not really. I think we're still likely to see something at the latest in Q1 2022. So that'd be the first 3 months of next year. You know, it's really in the resource modeler hands. And we have more than one group working on this because it's a large discovery and because it's both high grade and the low grade bulk tonnage and everything in between. It is complicated to model. And there's lots of different mining scenarios that could be applied. And that's important for how you think about the resource calculation. And it's one of the things we like best about the deposit. Like if you're Great Bear or you're a major mining company or whoever it is that is looking at developing this system, we think about it as being very flexible. It can definitely, it's really unique in that it has high grade, it'll have a lot of high grade ounces in the near surface. You know, and then it'll have high grade gold going down to depth. And, you know, it's flexible in that sense that you can have both a bulk type mine and a high grade mine. And do you have them at the same time? Do you build these things out in sequence? These are the possibilities that make it a really attractive deposit, or will be a very attractive deposit when those resources come out, because of the proximity to surface, the flexibility on the development plan. And really, you know, it comes down to economics. Like, if you bring a lot of high grade ounces into the near surface, you're going to be making presumably on deposits of that type. They tend to be a lot more profitable than others. And that's what we really look forward to showing here at this project. If we're right, and that's the case, that'll be, like you said, really highly anticipated. And we want to be able to show that and its flexibility and its long-term potential kind of all in that initial delivery. So a lot of work.
Right. So, yeah, 109 holes are still in assay stages in progress. It's been interesting to be reporting the drill results from Great Bear when they do hit, because you just unload a bunch of them into one press release. It's like, oh my gosh, like, I have so little time. Where do I start? Yeah. But is that kind of like more of the same of what to expect? Do you think you'll next couple months, maybe once a month, put out a news release with a bunch of different results?
I was just talking about this with my VP exploration and friend Bob Singh yesterday. And with all these holes coming in, I was telling Bob, and he agrees, it's like, we should be putting out holes, you know, say put out, instead of showing holes across multi-kilometers, right, which really people are not able to get their heads around, you know, we should be issuing the results in areas like, take a 500 meter section. And this is what we've been doing more recently, and show people how the gold fits together there. You know, they can do back of the envelope math and try to calculate ounces on their own. I think people really enjoy that. And the technical people that we deal with really like that. So I think instead of just doing rafts of drill holes across kilometers, show them how it's coming together and expanding in individual areas along strike. And I think that's a better way to communicate what we're seeing. That's what we get excited about, because when we put holes in, we see how it's growing in each area. And that's really, I think, more you'll see more of those detailed results and more of an ability to track an expectation around ounces and this kind of stuff in our disclosures on a go forward basis, because we've seen people really like that the last couple months that we've been doing it.
Yeah, I don't know why you'd have to prove to anybody that there's scale to the Dixie Project here. So.
not such a problem anymore.
No, it shouldn't be a problem. Chris, it's great to catch up with you once again. It has been too long. I think I'll be seeing you hopefully September at Beaver Creek. So until then, please stay safe. Yep. And for you and the rest of the team up there in Red Lake.
Yeah, I look forward to it. It'd be nice to be back, boots on the ground in the U.S. again, too. So I'll see you soon, Trevor.
Chris Taylor from Great Bear Resources, trading on the TSX Venture with GBR and on the OTCQX with GTBAF. The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak to a licensed financial representative before making any investment decision.